All right. Hey, welcome to Harbor Church, West Oahu. Go ahead and have your seat. It's great to see everybody this morning. Thank you for coming in and worshiping with us this morning. My name is Mike. I'm one of the pastors here. And so we are in part two of our sermon series, Radiant. And so we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 11. So you can kind of get your Bibles queued up there. And we'll be in that chapter for a minute. But I'm glad to see that you folks dried out. Everybody dried out from this past week. Yeah, kind of, sort of, you know, it's sweater weather in Hawaii, and when it rains like that, nobody can drive. Okay, come on, can we just confess that? Yeah, it's just, I got a witness. So anyway, so Radiant, we are in this series, and so this series is appropriate, especially for this time of season, this Advent season, Christmas season, because radiant means to shine brightly or brilliance. And, you know, this is the season of lights, right? Look at our stage decor and probably at your house or in your community, people are putting up Christmas lights. And so we're talking about radiant, and today we're talking about radiant faith. And to do so, we're going to look at the life of Moses. We're going to look at Moses's radiant faith. And the only time in the Bible where this word radiant and Moses is used together is in Exodus chapter 34. And if you remember, Moses is in the presence of God up on the mountain, and then he comes down from the mountain, and his face is just shining. It says his face was radiant after being in the presence of God. Much like when you leave here today, your face is in the presence of God, it's just be glowing. And his face was glowing so brightly that it had to be veiled. And so we see that Moses had this radiance about him, especially during that time. And so we're talking about radiant faith, using the life of Moses. But I wonder if we, when we think about radiant faith, do we think that radiant faith means that we need to shine brightly like Moses? Do we have this kind of just glow coming off of us? Almost kind of magical or mystical. Do we think that that's what radiant faith is? Or maybe we think that radiant faith is something that's just white hot faith, just passionate faith. Man, I'm so passionate about the Lord, and we have this kind of intensity about us. And maybe we think that's what radiant faith is. Maybe we think that radiant faith is something that we have to kind of self-generate. It's something that we have to kind of drum up inside of us, right? Kind of work ourselves up to a froth and to say, man, I got so much faith. I got big faith. And I wonder if that's what we think that radiant faith is. So today, what we're going to do is we're going to answer this question. First of all, two questions, really. We're going to answer the first question is, what is faith? And then secondly, we're going to ask ourselves, well, so what is radiant faith, or what does radiant faith look like? I think this is important for us to answer this question to understand what radiant faith is, because when you look at the Gospels, especially the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus is teaching, and he's talking to his followers, right? He's talking to the church, and he says, you are a city that's set on a hill that shines a light. He says, shine your light, radiate your light before men, right? So for all to see. So if that's the case, then, if this is what Jesus is saying, then it's really important for us to understand what is this radiant, shining faith. And so, like I said, we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to read about Moses's life of faith, kind of summed up in verses 24 through 29 of Hebrews chapter 11. So let's go ahead and take a look there. In verse 24 beginning, it says this, by faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter and chose to suffer with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasure of sin. For he considered reproach for the sake of Christ to be greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, since he was looking ahead to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt behind, not being afraid of the king's anger, for Moses persevered as one who sees him who is invisible. By faith, he instituted the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch the Israelites. And by faith, they crossed the Red Sea as though they were on dry land. And when the Egyptians attempted to do this, they were drowned. So we see here, kind of in this summary of Moses' life, that he was a man of faith. Moses was a person of faith. I mean, it says that he forsook his inheritance. He left the comfort and security and wealth and privilege of Egypt in order to lead a stubborn Israel through the desert. By faith, he chose to suffer with God's people. By faith, he left Egypt, and at the risk of his life, he instituted the Passover by faith. By faith, he and Israel crossed the Red Sea to escape the Egyptian pursuers. So Moses has this radiant faith. He has this life of faith. And so we have to ask ourselves, is Moses a person of faith because he had white hot faith? Because he was this passionate dude that just was like, I'm going to do anything. Is Moses a person of faith because he had his act all together? Everything, you know, everything was just lined up in his life? Hardly. Hardly. We know that Moses had questions and fears, and he had bouts of rage too. I mean, when you smash God's law, right, when you just throw them all down and you're just like, whoa. So it's hardly that Moses had this faith because he had his act all together. So what is this faith of Moses? Moses, his faith wasn't based on some white hot passion, some kind of cheery optimism on life. Rather, Moses' faith was based on reason. Moses had a reason to trust God, to believe God. He had a reason. And what was his reason? Well, we need to go to Exodus chapter 3, where you remember when Moses encounters the God in the burning bush, right? And God calls him to the burning bush, and there Moses is. He's shepherding sheep on the backside of the desert. And he encounters God in this burning bush. He encounters the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And it's there that God calls him and sends him to go and lead Israel out of Egyptian slavery. He had a reason to trust God. Moses' faith wasn't based on his emotions or some kind of optimism. It was based on something that happened. So when Moses chose to risk his life and to leave behind Egyptian privilege and wealth and comfort, he did it because he thought it through. He thought it through. He reasoned in his mind because he had a reason to do so. In fact, if you look down at your Bibles, look at verse 26. I want you guys to see this. Right at the beginning of verse 26, it says Moses did something. What did he do? What does your Bible say? He what? I heard it. You can yell it out. We won't judge you if you're wrong. Go ahead. He what? He considered. He considered, right? He considered. He considered. That word consider means he thought it through. He thought it through, that he thought about it. He considered the suffering or the reproach of leaving, suffering for Jesus and leaving Egypt. He considered that it was greater to do that than to stay back and enjoy the wealth and treasure of Egypt. So to consider is to reason it through, to think it through. And friends, this is what faith is. We reason and we think something through, and we think about it and in our mind, and we think about something that is true, and then we transfer our trust to it. We transfer our faith to this thing that is true. This is what faith is. So to kind of illustrate this point, the Harbor West creative team came up with a little skit. They're going to illustrate it. It's a one-man skit, and we only have one prop, and this is about the extent of our creativity here, okay? So if you guys are thinking, I want to join the creative skit team, no, this is all it is, okay? So, but here's my prop, all right? So now, let's pretend that I've never sat in a chair before, okay? Let's just pretend, and I'm here, and you guys are all sitting in chairs, okay? And I show up. And I'm looking at this chair. I'm a little skeptical. But if I asked you guys, hey, should I sit down in this? Is it reasonable for me to sit down in this chair? What would you guys say? Yes, it is reasonable. Why? Well, because you guys are experiencing. There's like a bunch of you actually sitting down in a chair and nobody's worse for the wear. And so it is certainly reasonable for me to sit down. There might even be a book that actually explains like, hey, you can trust chairs, so sit down in a chair. So I'm kind of like, all right, you know, so I'm going to sit down in a chair and, I'm like, okay, okay. And so I have all these witnesses out here, right, saying that I can sit in this chair, that you can trust the chair. Now, I may not understand the science or the engineering that went into creating this chair. I may not understand everything, but I still can transfer my trust to this chair. Why? Did I take a blind leap of faith? Did I take a leap in the dark? No. Living by blind faith, that's a stupid way to live. It really is. But I reason it through. I can reason it through. I can think it through. I can see you sitting in the chair. And I can therefore say, I have reason to actually put my trust in this chair. So when we look at Moses, right? Moses didn't understand everything. When God showed up at the burning bush, he didn't get it all. He was questioning God. He had fears. He had doubts. Yet Moses still transferred his trust to God. He still considered, he thought it through. And so when he was weighing out his options and says, man, should I really do this? Should I really leave Egypt? Should I really lose my inheritance and lose my security? And should I go and lead these stubborn people? Should I really do this? And he considered it and he said, it's worth it. Why? Why? Because he had a burning bush. He went back, something happened, and so he considered and he reasoned it out. My friends, this is the beginning of faith. This is the beginning point of faith. Christian faith begins with considering and reasoning it out and thinking it through. For Christians, our burning bush is the resurrection of Jesus. It's the resurrection of Jesus. You have to think it through. Maybe you're here and you wouldn't call yourself a Christian or a Christ follower. And we always say, man, we've been expecting you and welcome. We're glad that you're here. And maybe you've been, you wouldn't call yourself a Christian. But the thing is, and this is for everybody, when it comes to the resurrection of Jesus, we have to think it through. Did he really resurrect? The book that we carry around called the Bible, there's hundreds of people that say that we saw him. Yes, he did resurrect. But we have to do something with the resurrection. We have to do something with it. Either he did resurrect or he didn't. If he did, and he did, then everything that the scripture says about him is true, and everything that Jesus says about him is true. And so, my friends, we have to do something with the resurrection. We have to do something with it. It's either true or it's not. Because if it's not, then let's all go home and watch the game. Like, seriously, right? I mean, what are we doing here? But because it's true, we join together as a community of faith saying, I put my trust in Jesus. And so if you're here and maybe you're a skeptic or maybe you're, wrestling with faith or I'm not really sure about this whole thing, this God thing. We want Harbor West to be a safe place for you to ask questions. We want this to be a safe place where you're not just going to get somebody who's just going to say, well, brother, you just got to believe, man. Just have some faith. How frustrating is that when somebody just says, just believe? Why? Think it through. And so we invite you to think it through, to ask questions, to poke and prod at this. Because this is what faith is. Faith is reasoning out that something is true, and then transferring and transitioning your trust to that thing. So the second question then, if that's faith, then what is radiant faith? What makes faith radiant? Well, radiant faith is faith that is seen, like a bright shining light. And this is the other side of the coin to faith. Faith just isn't some kind of mental state that we stay in, that we're just, you know, we're constantly just thinking. The other side to faith is that faith now becomes visible. It doesn't just stay on the inside. It's just not, faith isn't just personal. It's not just private. Faith becomes radiant. It actually becomes visible. Faith that isn't visible isn't faith. It's really just maybe just a good idea. So kind of going back to the chair, right? I mean, the chair, maybe I like the idea of the chair. I think the chair is a good idea. But what does it say if I never actually sit down in the chair? Maybe I go to the chair store every Sunday, and I love going to the chair store, and I look at chairs, and the chairs are beautiful, and the variety of chairs, but I just never sit down in the chair. What does that say about my trust in the chair? Or maybe I have a bumper sticker on my car with a chair on it. I wear a chair pendant. I have a chair tattoo even, you know. But I never sit down in the chair. What does that say about my trust in the chair? This is why Hebrews 11:1 says up on screen, faith is the reality of what is hoped for. It's the proof, or some versions, the evidence of what is not seen. See, my friends, we reason it out. We don't understand everything. But then faith becomes real when our trust in Jesus becomes visible. Our visible faith is evidence of what is not seen. That's what, it's visible, it becomes real. And so when we go back to Moses in verse 27, it says, by faith, he left Egypt behind, not being afraid of the king's anger, for Moses persevered as one who sees him who is invisible. See, Moses didn't just encounter God and he just sat there tending his sheep for years and years and years just thinking about this thing. No. Hebrews 11, what we just read, we see that Moses actually put legs to his faith. His faith became real. It became proof of what is not seen. It became radiant. That's what radiant faith is. It's visible faith. And what Moses did, as it's summed up in Hebrews 11, was so counterintuitive. It's so countercultural. Right? For Moses to leave what he had and all his possessions and everything that you could want in life, and to leave all of that. And somebody would look at Moses and say, Moses, you are a fool. And the only way that Moses can live this countercultural, counterintuitive, radiant faith is because he's trusting in something that's true. He's trusting, he experienced something, and he knows something, and that's true. And that trumps everything else. So what about us, right? That we're radiant faith. As we live this radiant faith, it's the same for us too. That our faith is also counterintuitive and countercultural, where people would maybe look at our lives and say, that doesn't make any sense, this church thing, this God thing, this Jesus thing. You know, last night at our covenant members meeting, we had James and Pauline Wilson come up and share their story about baby Shiloh. Baby Shiloh is about 1 month old, and she got really, really sick in the last couple of weeks. Really high fever, rushed to the ER. They wanted to do spinal taps and catheters on a one-month-old baby, right? And you can just imagine the worry and the anxiety and the just the pain of that, to think of your little baby going through that. I can relate to that too. I've had little babies of my own in ERs, and just the anxiety of going through all of that. But as James and Pauline were sharing, what was coming out of them was that in spite of what's happening to their little girl, man, their faith was in the Jesus. And they were calling out for prayer. They were calling on the faith of the saints. Right? Not because they had the most white hot faith. In fact, when you're in that kind of situation, you're barely hanging on. You're not jumping up and down, zippity doo da, zippity day. You're leaning on Jesus and trusting him. And a world with outside world would look into that and say, why would you follow a God who would let something like that happen to your little baby? Why would you follow a God? Why would you worship a God? Why would you say you love a God who lets all these horrific things happen in this world? And to be quite honest, there's no like super neat answer to that. But what we do know is that there is Jesus who came out of that grave. He's coming back again on his second advent, his second coming, and he's making all things new. So everything that's broken in this life, everything that is going off the rails in this life, he's fixing it down the road. We know that's coming. And so we trust that. Certainly we pray for healing, we pray for deliverance, we pray for provision and all of these things, but ultimately our faith is hanging on the fact that we're not just most, you know, the most cheery people, but we are hanging our faith on the fact that Jesus is alive and he's coming back again. And that's counterintuitive. That's radiant faith that doesn't make sense. Maybe in your life, there's other things that are happening. And to follow this Jesus, this resurrected Jesus, means that we live a counterintuitive life. I mean, just think about what Jesus says about sex and forgiveness and money. An outside world looks in and says, that does not make sense. Forgive your enemies? No way. Bless them? Pray for them? I don't think so. I'll smack them, but I ain't going to pray for them. But it's counterintuitive, right? And the way we can live this counterintuitive, radiant faith is that we trust and believe that something happened, that Jesus did come out of that grave, and therefore his promises, he's trustworthy. And so as we live in this in-between time between his first coming and then his second coming, we live this life of faith and trust. And the way God works in our life is that it's an ongoing work in our lives to continually put our trust in Jesus. He's continuing, allowing circumstances and circumstances and people to come into your life, in and out of your life, because what he's doing is that he's growing you more and more like Jesus. And to where you are putting your faith and you're continually to learning to transfer your trust to Jesus. And this is God's great work in our lives. And so we're confronted with a sexual ethic from the scripture that actually goes against the grain of what the world says. The world says, don't worry about who you sleep with. It doesn't matter who or what or how. Do what feels good. And then we counterculturally come against that, right? And we say, no. The only person that I sleep with is with my husband or my wife in the covenant marriage. That's radiant faith. That's trusting. That's trusting. That's putting ourselves in the chair. And this is what God is doing in our lives over and over every day throughout until Jesus comes back. So we can live like this. We can follow Jesus. We can follow the resurrected Lord because he is resurrected, because he is alive, and because he's coming back again. And so as we see, Moses, he's held out as this example. And there's other examples in Hebrews chapter 11. It's called that chapter is called the Hall of Faith, because there's other examples, and it says at several points that this person considered, this person thought it through, this person considered. And so you have Moses as this example to follow of radiant faith, where he trusted, he reasoned it through, and then he made his faith visible. And certainly, Moses is a good example to follow, but he's more than an example. He's actually a signpost. He's like an arrow. And he's actually pointing not to himself, but he's pointing to someone else. And when we look at Moses, Moses is this arrow that points to someone else who had the ultimate radiant faith. He points to Jesus. He points to Jesus, who is faithful, faithful to the Father, faithful to obey the Father to the point of death. And Jesus radiantly was faithful by going to the cross and dying for you and me, paying the price for our sins, and then coming out of that grave 3 days later, ascending to the right hand of the Father, promising that I'm coming again for you guys. The day is coming when I'm coming back. But until then, we live by faith in Jesus. We live by faith in Jesus. Moses points to Jesus in Hebrews 3:5 as we get set to close. Moses, in Hebrews 3:5 up on screen, says Moses was faithful as a servant in all of God's house as a testimony to what would be said in the future. But if you look at verse 6, but Christ was faithful as a son over his household. So you have a servant in the house, which is good, but what's better is when you have the son over the house. He has ownership. He has authority. It belongs to him. And we are that household. The church is that household. If we hold on to our confidence and hope in which we boast, we hold on with confidence because it's true. Jesus is the one who displays ultimate radiant faithfulness to the Father. Jesus is the radiance of God's glory in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. So my friends, this Advent season, as we are heading full bore into Christmas and New Year's and all the good things that come with it, right? All the busyness and all the things that we're doing, the travel and family and shopping and all these fun things, parties. Take time. Let's take time to consider, to think it through. Whether you are a person struggling with faith or you've been walking faithfully with Jesus for years and years and years, we slow down, we take time, we think it through, we consider Jesus. We consider Jesus who was faithful to the Father, and that was made real. Not just in theory, but is real by him coming to this world, not to crush his enemies, but to die for his enemies, to love his enemies. That's me and you. So that we go from enemies to friends. We go from orphans to sons and daughters of God. We go from darkness to light. And this is what Jesus does. This is what he did for us. And so we consider that. We think that through. And then just like Moses, we look ahead to our reward. We look ahead to when Jesus comes back. He is coming back to renew our bodies, our lives, and this world. And so we look ahead to that this Advent season as we are in this in-between time of his first coming and his second coming. We look up ahead and we are anticipate his return. And as we do so, we can live faithfully, radiantly faithful because Jesus was radiantly faithful. So my friends, if your faith is a little lukewarm, or maybe you feel a little kind of off, or maybe you just don't have that white hot passion, or I'm not like Dan Kessler, who is just, you know, hopping all the time, right? You know, just, and so, but you just feeling like, you know, all right, I get it. My friends, don't look at that. Look at the one who's radiantly faithful. Look at Jesus. Look at Jesus, because he was radiantly faithful for you. My friends, that's good news. Amen. Let's go ahead and pray.